other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name can heal us, no other name can free us, no other name so precious.
Thank you, Jesus. Couldn't help but think as we were singing the song, how great is our God. I know it's stated in a question, but it's more of a rhetorical question in the sense that we really can't grasp the greatness of God. But I can to some extent in this. I know that God's grace is greater than my sin. I know God's help is greater than my trouble. I know God's presence is greater than my loneliness. I know God's healing power is greater than my sickness. So I may not be able to grasp all of what God is and who God is. I can't really understand all of His greatness, but guess what? I can understand He's greater. He's a provider and He's greater than my need. Woo. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands a little bit? Why don't you lift your voice in recognition of the greatness of our God? I can't understand it all. It's a great mystery, Lord, but I do know You're great and greatly to be praised, God. You're greater than any deficiency I have. You are able, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to remind you that this evening there will be a special time as the children's ministry department will be, and the children will be ministering in service tonight beginning at 6:30. So we look forward to that. I expect you to be here in the house of God in support of the children and their ministry, and we're just looking forward to a great time in the presence of the Lord. Tomorrow night, I know it's on the newsletter, but many times it's failed to get mentioned from the pulpit and announcements. But tomorrow night here at the church, 7 p.m., Daughters of Zion prayer meeting. All of those that are a part of Daughters of Zion, we encourage you to come and be involved in that prayer meeting tomorrow night here at the church at 7 o'clock. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind, Second Corinthians chapter number 5. Thank you for your prayers concerning travels to Florida. I was able to fly out without incident on Thursday, and I was there for my nephew's graduation, high school graduation, and then flew back last evening, and it was without it. There was some inclement weather in the area. Everything went smooth, no issues, no problems, and I thank you for your prayers concerning that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this or in this earthly house, in this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor. Everybody say that. Wherefore we labor. In other words, this is the reason why we work. This is the reason why we do what we do. That whether present or absence, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all, everybody say all. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Draw your attention back to the first part of verse number 9. Apostle Paul writing says, wherefore we labor. I preach to you upon that three-word phrase, wherefore we labor. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. Lord, I thank you for your beautiful Spirit that is here in this place. God, your presence that is here to help, God, to restore, to renew whatever someone may come into this place in need of. God, you're able to meet and supply that need. You're greater, God. Your sufficiency is greater than any deficiency in my life, Lord. And I thank you that I can come to you, God, with boldness in time of need, knowing that you are there to help. You are there to encourage. You are there, God, to increase. You are there to give me that which I have need of, God, to go on in you, God, that I would continue to labor in you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every other name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ we ask it, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Wherefore we labor. Anybody, I would say, serving God any length of time has probably asked these kinds of questions. What is the true motivation of our service to God? Why is it that we do what we do? What does our true longing lie, or where does our true longing lie, and what do we really look forward to? What is the expectation in our spirit? What do we anticipate? Is our anticipation, our expectation, is it based upon the here and now, or is it based upon the hereafter? Is what we do and how we live, is it based upon the applause or praise of men? Is it based upon who our family is, or our associations, or our circles, or our groups? Or is it based upon a longing that will outlive us in the sense of this life? Is it based upon a true desire to see the hereafter, to understand and know there is a heaven that awaits? And I know I've kind of been on this kick for a while, and you'll have to just indulge me, because the Lord hasn't let me leave this line of thinking, this kind of mode of thought that says we as a people have got to get back to a longing for the hereafter. We as people of God, as children of God, we need to get back to what I believe the past generations were saturated with, a type of spirit that they had. Their longing was not for this life. Their anticipation was not for what tomorrow held in the sense of this life, but their anticipation was in what lay beyond this life. They're longing, their hope. And I know this because it doesn't take long. You can look at some of the old songs, and I know I reference them many times. I know I look back, and I often look at the verses that are written by those that had a longing for the hereafter. Words like, I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Songs like, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And there one day, on thee I'll stand, and there my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Songs like, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me, and now I onward go. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more restless every day. I'm getting uncomfortable here in this life. What's going on around about me, and the sin that I see, and society, and the way it's going, it's making my spirit uneasy. I don't long for this life and what it holds. I don't hold any satisfaction in the here and now. Remember an old song we used to sing? I want to go there. I need to go there. A mansion awaits just inside those gates, and I want to go there. I wonder, is there anybody else in the house this morning that has that same type of feeling, that has that same longing deep in your spirit that says, I want to go there, preacher. I want to be there. Paul was a writer who made no apologies for his longing. He really didn't in any way, shape, or form try to sugarcoat where he longed to be. He said, I am straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, listen, I understand my reasoning for being here and now. It's to help you, but you need to understand what I'm really longing for, what I'm really anticipating, what I'd really like to have is my home eternal. Don't get me twisted. I have no issue with the new songs we sing, and we do need the power and the presence of God here. But it seems like many of the songs talk about the power and the presence of God coming here. And I know we need that, and that's right. And I don't slight that in any way, shape, or form. But I think we need to be reminded about and re-engage something that was in the spirit of past generations. It was the understanding that the presence of God here is simply for getting us there. The reason why we sing the songs and the reason why we want the presence of God in our midst, so that it helps us, so that it changes us from glory to glory, that one of these days my feet find themselves on streets of pure gold. A longing, a desire to be in the hereafter. The Apostle Paul said, wherefore we labor, wherefore we work, wherefore we do what we do, and we live how we live here, in order that we may be accepted of Him and live forever there. I do what I do here, not to please you or not to make you think I'm something special, but I do what I do here that I may be accepted of Him and live forever there. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I get real leery. I understand there's a hellfire and brimstone kind of preaching, and I understand that type of preaching. Some of you yourselves came under, and I appreciate that. But I'm glad your relationship didn't stay in a scared state where it was just about the judgment of God and it was just a fire escape from hell. I'm glad that your relationship began to mature where it became less about being scared of hell and more about being seduced by heaven, where we were looking for those pearly gates.
I would that we would get back to looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Getting restless down here. I'm getting uncomfortable down here. You see, this world is not my home. That's why I'm uncomfortable here. I don't have the same affinities I used to have before my focus began to shift. And now my affection is set upon things above, not on things here on the earth.
See, kind of dawned on me as I was with my family here last few days. My mom and I had a chance to go shopping together, and my mom loves Walmart. You can ask my mom about just about where anything is in their local Walmart, and she can tell you, almost down to the aisle. She can tell you where it's at. If she ever wanted a job, she just had to go in there and tell them, listen, just let me walk around for 15 minutes, and you'll give me a job. As we were walking into Walmart, mom and I, and we were talking about the town and things that had grown and different things that had buildings and how the area was growing up and there was construction going on. And my mom just kind of stopped and said something about here, Sandwich area. She looked at me kind of with a forlorn look and she said, that's home now, isn't it? I said, yeah, Mom, it is. You see, but then I began to think, you know why? Because there's so many attachments here now. I lived the majority of my life there, but now for the last almost 3 years now, I'm here, and there's attachments here, and there's catch the understanding. The Apostle Paul said, we've received the earnest of our inheritance. It's just a little portion of a, you see, I need to understand the reason why I'm not comfortable here is because here is not my home. There's more attachments I'm making over on the other side. There's more connection to the hereafter. And so I'm longing for the place that is to be my forever. So as I looked at these verses of Scripture, as I began to look as Paul reveals this same mentality in his writings, how that Paul has no affinity for what he's found in this life outside of Jesus Christ, that Paul has no affection for what this world could offer him. I began to look at the Scripture a little bit differently, and maybe to help get across the understanding, I want to read to you from a little different translation these same passages of Scripture. And I want to take a little time to try to expound upon what the Apostle Paul was saying and what he was meaning in these verses of Scripture. The translation is God's Word translation, but verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 5, it reads like this in this translation. We know that if life here on earth is ever taken down like a tent, we still have a building from God. It is an eternal house in heaven that isn't made by human hands. And verse number 2, in our present tent-like existence, we sigh. We groan, the Bible says, since we long to put on the house we will have in heaven. See, this is why Paul, another of his writings, would say this. If we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. He said, listen, it's not that you can't have hope in this life. There is hope in this life, but my real hope rests outside this life. And if I just have hope in this life only, then I am of all men most miserable. And I can honestly say the times I've stood and given memorial services and talked about individuals that I know in my heart, they had no affinity for the hereafter. They were all about this life and what it had to offer. And I think to myself, oh, how sad. Oh, how miserable they must have been not to really think about the hereafter and a heaven that awaits and a hell to shun. I would to God that I would be reminded about the old guard, if you will, and how they felt about heaven. Wherefore we labor. He says in verse number 3, for after we have put it on, we won't be naked. He compares this life. He compares what we live in now in our tent-like temporal home. He says it's as if we're spiritually naked, unclothed.
ashamed. He said, listen, you need to understand, this life is not glamorous. What we deal with and the sufferings and the persecutions and all the stuff that we deal with. Yes, I understand it's very real and it's not pretty, but guess what? I don't do it for what I have here and now. I do it for what I have on the other side. What awaits me in life eternal, where pleasures are forevermore. Goes on to say, while we are in this tent, we sigh. Verse 4, we feel distressed because we don't want to take off the tent. None of us really want to die. But we don't want to put on, but we do want to put on the eternal house. Yeah. I don't have a desire to walk out and get struck by lightning and die today. It's not something I look forward to in that sense. The Apostle Paul said, listen, while we're here in this body, we sigh, we groan. Because we really in our natural state, we know none of us looks forward to death. But at the same point in time, we really want in our spirit, we want what awaits us. We want that immortality. We want that incorruption. We want that. Why? Because God has placed inside of us in His Spirit the earnest of our inheritance and attachment to the here and beyond. We are much more spirit being than we are human being. And while this body, this earthly house may be dissolved, we understand that we have a building of God, a house in the heavens, not made with man's hands, but something God has prepared for us. I remember the words of Jesus. And I've often thought about it in a building or a structure sense, or in the sense of an edifice, or in the sense of a home. But catch what Jesus said. He said, "Fear not, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Myself, he didn't say in my Father's land. He didn't say in my Father's heaven. He said in my Father's house there are many mansions. Well, in this life, we think of a mansion being bigger than a house. We think of a house being just a small abode, but we think of a mansion as being something that's gargantuan. We think of a mansion as being something enormous. But you see, I don't believe Jesus was talking about in a building sense. I believe Jesus was talking about, you see, right now we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But one of these days, it's not going to be an earthen vessel anymore. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. And when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What are you saying, Paul? It's an earthly vessel right here and right now, and it may not look all that pretty, but on the other side, it's a mansion. It's something God has been building and preparing. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. Paul says, wherefore we labor, wherefore we work, wherefore we do what we do, wherefore we live how we live, whether present or whether absent, that we may be accepted of Him and live with Him forever. Verse 5, God has prepared us for this and has given us His Spirit to guarantee it, to make us understand and know it's going to happen. That's why I believe when the verse says, "I have not seen, heareth not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And so you and I, when we're engaging the power and presence of God, we're just getting a little snippet. We're just scratching the surface of the glory that awaits us on the other side. Our finite minds can't in any way, shape, or form come close to encapsulating the wonders and the beauties of heaven. We can't in this life, in our little minuscule minds, even understand all that awaits us on the other side. But I'm looking forward to that day when He splits the eastern sky and the trump of the Lord shall sound, and this dead shall be raised up incorruptible. Whether at that point in time my body is buried in the ground, or whether at that point in time I'm living upon this earth, whether I'm absent or whether I'm present, I'm looking for that day when I'm forever with the Lord. Indeed, our lives, he says, verse number 6 rather, so we are always confident, we know that as long as we are living in these bodies, we are living away from the Lord. He knows. As long as we're here, we're not there. As long as we're here, we ain't there. But we can have a little bit of there here. And that little bit of there here helps us to get from here to there. Indeed, our lives are guided by faith and not by sight. That's how we live, the way we live. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is spiritual. You want to be led right? Follow faithful men and women. You want to go right? Walk right, do right. Find faithful men and women and pattern your life and say, I want to do like they do. Whether we live in that, rather verse 8, for we are confident and prefer to live away from this body, to live with the Lord. Whether we live in the body or move out of it, our goal is to be pleasing unto Him. Why? Why do we labor? Why do we do what we do? Because all of us, here we go, all of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. And then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil that they have done while living in their bodies. Here and now is the testing ground. Here and now is the proving ground. But God never expected me to do it on my own. He gave me some of over there, some the earnest of my inheritance. He gave me the key that unlocks the door to the spirit realm. And with the spirit realm, I can do, I can live, I can labor, I can keep on, I can press on. I cannot be weary in well doing. I can keep doing what I'm doing. Why? Because I have an anticipation and an expectation of what awaits me on the other side. As people who know what it means to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. We try to convince others, hey, you need to go where I'm going. You need to understand what this world has and what it offers. It's nothing. This life is but a vapor. You could gain all, you could have all, but it wouldn't profit you one iota. For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his soul? What are you saying, preacher? Only this, everything we interact with, all that is in this life and all that we deal with in the sense of suffering and struggles and everything. Listen, I would to say this. It doesn't matter what we're going through and what we've had to deal with. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I often read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I wonder, man, how did they do it? How did they go to the stake with a smile on the face? How did they preach even in the midst of being burned alive? How did they, with a smile on the face, exemplify the grace of God as they forgave those that were actually persecuting and killing them? I tell you why, because their hope wasn't in the eyes that were fastened upon them. Their hope wasn't in the hands that were raised in anger against them. Their hope was in the hereafter, and they knew they were sending them on their way to be where they wanted to be in the first place. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Wherefore we labor. Wherefore we do what we do. We live how we live. The last phrase, God already knows what we are. And I hope that you will know also what we are. See, I do what I do. Not just to be pleasing unto God. Yes, I do. Be accepted of Him. But I do what I do to help point other people in the same direction. To help give guidance. To shine light in darkness. To be a city set upon a hill which cannot be hid. Why is it so important? We're a city set upon a hill because we're trying to lead them to that holy city. My uncle, who used to lead song service when I was growing up, one of his favorite songs was a song, "I'm Bound for That City." God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how dark may be the day, I'm bound for that city. Ooh. I don't serve God in fear of His judgment. Catch this. I serve God in expectation and anticipation of Him as the giver that gives good gifts. And one of these days, the very best gift. Right now, I just have an earnest of it. Right now, I just have an earnest of my inheritance. But one of these days, I'm going to receive the whole lot.
Yes.
One of these days. Right now, I just got a little portion. It's just maybe living off the interest. But one of these days, I'm getting a lump sum. And it is forever. Forever shall I be with the Lord. Forever shall I live in pleasures. Forever. That's why I labor. Wherefore we labor. That's why I serve. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm living how I'm living. Because I want to be accepted of Him and live forever over there.
On the streets of glory, let me give my all. Cares all past, home at last. Look upon His face, let Him sing for us. upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. On that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah,
glory when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing,
oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Blessed Savior in the sky.
Oh, I want to see him,
look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving rain.
Well, now,
on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see God. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So greatly run this race till we see God. Wherefore we labor, we do what we do, that one of these days I'm able to take the crown from off of my head that he gave unto me, a crown of righteousness, and I cast it before his feet, knowing I'm forever with the Lord.
Right, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You know how when you're away from a loved one, probably say more than once, I can't wait to see you. How many times you ever lifted your hands toward heaven and told God, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait. I will, as long as you feel it's necessary, remain here. But you need to understand, I'm waiting for the moment when this earthly house is dissolved. When this life folds up like a tent. Why? Because right here and now it's just temporary. But over there's forever. I can't wait to see you. While I'm here on this earth, I'm still working. I'm still laboring. I won't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And if I don't reap here in this life, guess what? I'll reap forever in the life to come. It will be an eternal harvest.
So small. When
all sorrow will erase. And His reign till we see God. It will be worthy, Lord.
One more.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see God. One
I'm longing for. Coming more and more restless in this life. Uncomfortable in the surroundings that are surrounding me. And I long to be lifted up and forever be with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Remember, special service tonight, ending at 6:30. You may go in Jesus' name. God bless you.